This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
Hey, welcome to the show. Ahead, we talk to an Indigenous hockey broadcaster who joined the Regina Pats broadcast team this past weekend for some history. A former WHL goaltender, Max Paddock, has quite the interesting story to tell as well. From university-level hockey to volleyball, we'll have more on that. And the Tempo WHL Player of the Week is Emmett Finney of the Kamloops Blazers. After tallying 7 goals and 10 points, he'll wrap up the show. First up, there was some WHL history made this past weekend, part of the Regina Pats Indigenous Celebration Night. Clarence Iron joined the Regina Pats broadcast crew of Dante DeCaria and Kelly Rempel, calling the second period in his native Cree language. Here's a sample. Cole Temple scoring the goal as the Pats hosted the Edmonton Oil Kings. Clarence, first of all, great job, by the way, on the weekend. That must have been quite the thrill for you.
Yes, it was. You know, it's something new. I was sitting with two other guys there that are well known in the hockey world, especially in Western Hockey League. Yeah, it was good.
Your history calling hockey, how far does that go back? How many games have you done over the years, Clarence?
Oh, boy, you know, that's one thing I haven't counted at all, but I've done quite a few. It all started way back with the I worked for it's called MBC, Mississippi Broadcasting Corporation.
Sure.
Now, yeah, they got hired to do some Indigenous hockey tournaments in the past through North Battleford Indian Métis Friendship Center, a big hockey tournament. It was really good talent, and also Meadow Lake. Yeah, so I did call some play-by-play hockey, but it was all in English, but I would throw the odd Cree, maybe about 5 minutes in each game. So, yeah, and people heard me that I was calling Cree. That's how I got involved with this Cree hockey now.
Well, you called the second period the other night. You that goal clip, Cole Temple scored it. Is it a tough translation, hockey terminology, using your native tongue? Is that difficult?
Well, it is, because it's kind of long words that we use, and you got to be pretty fast. You got to think fast. But there are words, like, you can simplify a word. I'll give you an example. The puck itself in Cree is called the short term.
Napaguanis. That's the short term.
That's the short term. Now, the long term is
Wow.
Now you're describing the puck itself. It's very descriptive, the Cree language. So, yeah, you got to find little short ways of, to eliminate that long description. So, yeah, we have ways. We got terminology now. They did put a book together, APTN, on all sports, hockey, curling. There is terminology. There is a little dictionary that they have.
Clarence, do you have any broadcast mentors, maybe who you listened to growing up, that you've taken some of their style into your style?
Yeah, Foster Hewitt, Bob Cole, Dan Kelly, but Danny Gallivan, he had that smooth style. I used to like the way he called, so I try to imitate him in a way, and that's what I try to use in Cree. I'll give you an example in English, and then I'll turn it into Cree.
Okay.
So we have Lafleur, Lambert, and Schott. And there's Lafleur. Magaway with Lafleur. Igo tipi tako ni una paguan sa Lambert. Igo tanagatamu Steve Schott mutsigiu. Pi tego heo Steve Schott.
Hey. That was awesome. That was awesome. As well, I'm very jealous because later on this month, you'll get an opportunity to call an NHL game in Cree. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, we will be traveling to Winnipeg. They have a specialized studio. Now, why that happened, that we did do some live right in the arena, live games in Winnipeg, but due to that COVID back in a few years back, COVID was the one that, so we weren't really traveling to the direct arena where they're playing. Yeah, we do call right from a specialized studios in Winnipeg. So that's where we go, right at APTN building, and we do the game there. But all the live feed comes through into that specialized studio. We have to study the names. The next games, the next game we're calling are the Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames, a Battle of Alberta. So now I have to study the names, and at times they have, line changes the very last second or last minute of, just before the starting of the game. So, but, it doesn't bother me as much as long as I know a handful of the players, and that's, and then after that, I pretty much know which new person is on the lineup.
Clarence, what does it mean to you to have the Cree language prominent and part of Indigenous Night celebrations in Regina, and for you to go on and share your language here calling an NHL game later this month?
Yeah, it means a lot to me. Little did I know I was one of the biggest players, I guess, carrying the Cree language, because to me it's a natural thing, because I was born with the Cree language. That's the thing. I had a hard time speaking English growing up, but I did graduate. I finally did graduate, but growing up, I had to do extra studies to learn the English language. But in Cree, I was raised by elders. My dad died at a young age. My mom left to work in North Battleford at the hospital. So I was raised by my grandma and grandpa, and they spoke the Cree language, and that's how I learned growing up, being a baby and right up to, right till my grandpa passed away. So, yeah, I learned the Cree language. It was natural to me, but little did I know that, since the recommendations that came out regarding residential schools and stuff, to be part of the, bringing the Cree language alive again, that hit me a lot of times. It's a very, it was important that I went there. I lived in Treaty 4 territory and Gordon's Reserve. They hired me to do a job, and I did it right.
Clarence, great job. And thanks for being such a great guest and telling your story here on WHL This Week.
Right on. Thanks. Thank you.
From the drop of the puck to the Edschanouth Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Former WHL goaltender Max Paddock is in some rare air as a two-sport U-Sports athlete. Max played parts of five seasons in the WHL with the Regina Pats and Prince Albert Raiders between 2016 and 2021. The Brandon Manitoba native started using his WHL scholarship at Acadia University, but later transferred to the University of Fraser Valley in Chilliwack, BC. In a story this week with the WHL's Cammy Koepke, available online at WHL.ca, Paddock quickly rediscovered a love of another sport.
I was just in the gym working out, and my best friend Reese, who's at UFE with me now, he's our libero. We need like one more guy to play 6-on-6. Like, you should just come. So yeah, sure. Like, whatever. I'll throw on a pair of shoes and have some fun. And, 2 hours later, I was like, why did I ever stop playing volleyball? Like, this is enjoyable. Like, cause hockey at the time was kind of, I was playing university at that time. It wasn't as enjoyable. I was kind of losing a little bit of love for the game. And yeah, volleyball was just like, I was excited for the next time. I was asking to come back, and they were, luckily for me, they invited me back the rest of the times after that. And then my best friend Reese, who's, as I mentioned, is here now at UFE, was like, I think, like, if you're interested, like, there could be a spot on the team for you. And obviously he wasn't sure, neither of us were sure, like, to what extent, you know, whether I'd be a practice player or whatever the role would be. And I kind of just, I went there expecting to just kind of be like a practice player, not really sure what my role would be. And then, last year I was kind of a serving sub, would come in and play the back row, play defense. And this year I won the starting setting job.
Finding his way onto the floor as a starter with the Cascades, it wasn't by accident, given his bloodlines.
My dad played in the Olympics for volleyball. He was my coach growing up. I also had Grant Wilson, who's the BU men's volleyball coach, as my coach as well growing up. So I had a little bit of a biased opinion, but two of the best coaches in Canada coaching me. I think my first time, my auntie always remembers this. I don't know why, but she remembers the first time I ever tossed up a spin serve and hit it over the net was when I was 3. She saw me do that after a game. So volleyball actually came before hockey for me.
Now 23 years old, Paddock is taking advantage of the WHL scholarship program.
It's hard to kind of realize when you're 14, 15, 16 and you're signing that contract. Like, you're thinking, you know, you're going to make it to the NHL. And unfortunately, that's not the case for everyone. You're also thinking, like, you know, school doesn't really matter. And it's not until you kind of see your tuition and what it costs and the cost of living. And that's kind of what makes you realize, like, holy, this is actually, like, super beneficial. It would have limited my options without it, I guess. I'm not sure if I would have been able to even come out here because it's also a little bit more expensive, and living out in BC is a lot more expensive too. So just, like, even outside of the scholarship, it just kind of helps relieve pressure financially. It's awesome. It's really helped me and my family out.
And Cammy's full story on Max Paddock, available now online at WHL.ca.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
Kamloops Blazer forward Emmett Finney recorded 10 points in 3 games. He scored 7 times, added 3 assists to be named the Tempo WHL Player of the Week. I caught up with the Detroit Red Wings prospect.
Yeah, definitely. It's obviously it's pretty cool. You know, getting a lot of texts from family members and stuff, they were all pretty excited, so it was good.
You capped it with a 4-goal night in Kelowna. You scored an insurance marker and then the empty netter. Career night for you, what was working for you?
I don't know. It just felt like it was one of those games where every shot I took was finding its way into the net, and you know, lots of good plays from my line mates and stuff. So, yeah.
I know as well the team won 2 of the 3 games, and that's important right now because you're in a stretch right now where you haven't given up on playoffs. This team is still trying to battle for that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the 2 out of 3, like you said, was huge. You know, there's a lot of belief in this room still, and we've got lots of hockey left, so.
It comes after a trade deadline where the team was very active, obviously, with the moves. You saw lots of friends depart. You saw 3 teammates depart, not to mention really close with Fraser Minton, who left in November here. How's that been for everybody to kind of have a new-look team and push forward?
Yeah, obviously, that's a lot of your good friends that you lose there, but you understand it, definitely. And I thought since the trade deadline, we've really come together as a team, and we've battled through some adversity and, you know, found a way to get some wins.
You're a Detroit Red Wings draft pick. You're in your 18-year-old season. You played your prep hockey, academy hockey at Yale, and the Blazers at Yale have had a bit of a connection here over the years. 2 of your teammates in Yale are your teammates here, and Jordan Keller and Ryan Michael. But I look back to your team in 2019-20. You were 15 years old. 11 players from that Yale team have played in the WHL. Do you guys have a little inner competition or keep in touch with, you know, some of the history you guys had together?
Yeah, you keep in touch with a lot of them, obviously. But, yeah, we had a good team out in Yale there and lots of good buddies who get to play against every day in the WHL. So it's a great experience.
11 players, though, including Zach Benson, who's in the NHL. You played with Zach, actually, on the same line. So did you think that Zach would have the career that he's turning out to be as he continues with the Buffalo Sabres?
Yeah, obviously didn't expect him to get there that quick. But, you know, he works really hard. And even his days at Yale, he was always one of the best players. And he worked so hard and just super proud of him.
Tanner Molendijk, of course, there's 4 drafted players from that team. You're one of the drafted players from that team with the Detroit Red Wings. You had your first real camp experience after you were a 7th-round pick. What did you get from Detroit to bring back this season?
Just little things like they had a lot of good coaches out there who would help me with my game and give me little pointers throughout the season. And they worked with me throughout the year, giving me advice and doing Zoom calls, watching shifts. So all the stuff they do really helps.
You've been a bit of a streaky guy. You think like last year you had that point streak that you closed off the regular season with. You continued into playoffs. Right now as we speak, we've got to knock on some wood somewhere because you're on your career-long point streak as we speak. Have you thought much about that?
Not really, no. Just trying to keep playing my game to the best of my abilities, and the points come along with it, then it's great.
Seems like your confidence, I've noticed, seems higher, and that can probably roll off some success that you've had here recently coming off a 10-point week in Player of the Week here. But what's it been like for you? Has there been a little snap of a finger or a switch flip?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've been sticking to the same routine mostly, and that's been giving me a lot of confidence. And you know, just trying to put in the work after practice and before practice has been giving me confidence.
You came to Kamloops as a 16-year-old, and you didn't score that year. I know that a lot of 16-year-olds can put a lot of stock. Their value is always based on points and goals. But you obviously took another step at 17. You've taken another step this year. Let's go back to that 16-year-old season, what it was like for you.
Yeah, we had a really good team my 16-year-old year, and I didn't play as much as I would have thought going into it. But definitely it was a little frustrating going into that summer not scoring a goal, and really just made me want to work on my shot a lot more and really prove myself the next season.
More of a playmaker, a setup guy, and that's been a bit of a role here now, scoring some goals here for sure for your team here. You're 18 still. You still have some time to develop. You look at, you know, your progression. What's the next step, do you think, for Emmett Finney?
Yeah, like you said, consider myself a bit of a playmaker, but I'd like to add that scoring touch to my game more. I've been trying to shoot more of these last couple games and been able to find the back of the net a lot more than I've wanted to, yeah.
Brother plays in Edmonton with the Oil Kings. You guys had a head-to-head matchup earlier this year in Kamloops. He's a year older than you. Actually, I think came to Blazer camp when he was 17. That's a nice little thing to have, I'm sure. You guys play opposite games, though, all together here, so that's a bit of a different one.
Yeah, definitely. You know, super proud of him and what he's done over these last couple seasons. You know, he worked really hard in the off season and to get listed by Edmonton and then sign out of camp, that was great for him. And like you said, yeah, we played different games, but he's a great player.
Weekend ahead, you got a home-and-home with Prince George and then a Family Day Monday game against Victoria. Since the trade deadline, the Blazers are 7-6 overall here, so what do you need out of this weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be a big weekend. You know, PG, they're top of the division, and, you know, they got a really good team over there, so we're going to have to really come hard against them and, you know, play our game to the best of our abilities.
Okay, hey, congratulations. Your first Tempo WHL Player of the Week. Thanks for being our guest.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, that's the show. Big thanks to our guests, Clarence Iron and Emmett Finney, and a special assist from Cammy Kepke at the WHL office in Calgary as well. Thanks, Cammy. That's the show. Have a great weekend.